Yo.
Hey, Eppen, welcome to Science Thursday. Science Thursday, Science Thursday, science rules. Science, science,
Science
science.
rules.
So, I told you nobody's answering me. Nobody can be on the show. It's actually Friday. If we're being transparent here, I missed. Yeah, I've been really busy and I missed last Thursday.
Whoa, Paul.
Oh, hey, Paul.
Oh,
Paul.
no.
Oh, flip.
Frickle Frackle.
Well, Paul did answer. Maybe his audio is broken or he's being silent. But I invited Paul Miller to see if he would answer. I didn't warn him. I texted a bunch of people and everybody said they couldn't do it. So I just tried to call a bunch of the people who I didn't ask yet so that they would just answer it, hopefully.
An
And Paul did.
impromptu sort of thing.
Zach Show Live. How are you doing, Zach Show Live?
Doing good, doing good. Glad to be here.
So Zach can only be here for about 15 minutes. He's in a different time zone and he's going out on the town. Actually, Evan, you guys are all in a different time zone. I'm the only one on the West Coast.
Yeah. Wait, where, Zach, where are you now?
I'm in Cleveland.
Cool. Does it
Yeah.
feel like heartland?
It does. It does.
Zach, I know you have to leave soon, so I decided to cater a few. Well, I catered one science story to you so that we could do that one and you could leave.
Hit me. Did you guys already do the intro?
What is the intro?
Like any kind of intro?
Sort of. I said, welcome to Science Thursday. Science
Yeah, we got
Thursday.
it. We had some sound
Welcome
effects.
to Science Thursday. Beep, 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 beep. I'm Ryan. This is Evan. Paul's here. He's technically on the phone. Maybe I'm gonna I'll, after I give you the story, I'll try calling Paul back. We'll do a hang up and
Oh,
retry.
he dropped.
He's technically on the call. I see his name. He might be hearing us now because he didn't go away yet. But I'll do one story. So this is where I there are so many. I'm sorry I missed last week. I've been really busy, and it took me. I've been reading these science articles for the last like 5 hours. And I only got through 2 days of news. So, like, that's what I'm just telling you. Like, there's so much to go through. I feel bad of missing some stuff, but I got some
I
good.
mean, I think 5 hours is probably good, though.
But I was like, there's so much I'm missing still. I've only gone through the last 2 days. Anyway, ASMR is in the science news, finally.
Whoa, what's going on the ASMR front?
Brain tingles. The first study of its kind reveals physiological benefits of ASMR. This is out of the University of Sheffield. Summary is autonomous sensory meridian response, the relaxing brain tingles experience some people have in response to triggers such as whispering, tapping, and slow hand movements, may have benefits for both mental and physical health, according to new research. So they got some people who say they experience ASMR. And I don't know, I guess I should say if people don't know who are listening, do you want explainer on ASMR? It's just like if you go on YouTube and type ASMR, you'll see a bajillion examples of it where it's like soft talking, tapping, crinkly paper, all kinds of like soft little sounds that if you have this sort of brain condition or like sensitivity to these sounds, then it's like relaxing. It sort of feels like you're going to like getting a haircut, and you get like the tingles when you're getting a haircut, or like when anybody gives you personal attention, the sort of like feeling you get. That's what you get
I
when
feel
you.
bad for anybody that doesn't get ASMR because it's pretty
Whoa,
great.
easy.
You don't have it?
I don't get the tingles. Really?
I think that you could if you tried.
I have tried.
How much ASMR have you watched and what kind?
I've tried the crinkling ones, I've tried the whispering ones, and I've tried some of the, like, I don't even know how to describe it, like the textural ones.
Yeah.
And I just can't feel a tingle. I mean, maybe I'm looking for a feeling that's not really there, or like, I'm like trying too hard to feel what I imagine it feels like. But no, I don't. I've never had a, like, I get tingles when I listen to music, so I know what that sounds like or feels like.
But do you know what I'm talking about when you go to the hair, get your haircut, and you like get, do you get the tingles, whatever, like they're like getting like close to your ears, or like they're like, you know what I'm talking about, the sensation you get?
Is it like the same sensation as when someone uses one of those like multi-prong hair?
Yeah, yes, very similar. Got it.
I don't. The hair works for me though.
Yeah. So that's, I guess, imagine that you get that feeling, but you get it from watching a video. It's not as strong, I would say. Although sometimes it can be.
I'll have to dive back in.
Getting a massage is a lot nicer. But I would say it's in the spectrum of a massage. It's like somehow a massage over video.
I mean, that sounds great.
I watch it mainly like before I go to bed. So like, if you haven't tried that, I would recommend that.
Mm-hmm. So this study,
whenever you're like gone full, you're like in full chill mode and you're just kind of zonked out, like watching ASMR. I feel like that's when I get the best tingles
for sure. This study made people who said they were ASMR responsive. Like they say they have the that quality about them, and they got people who weren't. And the people, they made them watch ASMR videos and non-ASMR videos and found that those who experienced ASMR showed significantly greater reductions in their heart rates when watching ASMR videos, an average decrease of 3.14 beats per minute compared to those who do not. They showed a significant increase in positive emotions, including relaxation and feelings of social connection.
They had a decrease of pi.
Yeah, true. 3.14. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is. And now that you say that, wow. Bum, 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 bum. X-Files theme. Bum, bum, bum.
When you first introduced this topic, I thought you said brain tangles instead of brain tingles. And that's what I'm interested in. I want to hear more about brain tangles.
Oh, I actually do have news about brain tangles. Funny enough, I don't know, you could say it's brain tangles. I could make it work. But yeah, anyway, I just wanted to say, like, ASMR hasn't been studied in a real way at all. And so they're like, yeah, it's real. They said the average reductions in heart rate experienced by our ASMR participants was comparable to other research findings on psychological effects of stress reduction techniques such as music and mindfulness. So, like, it's kind of like, you know, meditating or anything like that. It's a mindfulness thing. And I could definitely see that because it put your... it's real tactile. It does put you in the moment, sort of.
Yeah. Well, what's so that's basically the study?
But the study just confirmed what people already think. So, I mean, you know, there's a risk there that they're just, these are people who say they have ASMR. And so these people already want to believe that this is helpful to them in some way, you know, like, so it's a little, this could be completely placebo, but I mean, it's a real study. It's not nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I'll just give you a couple of my favorite ASM artists. I mean, ASMR Darling. I mean, I feel like she's just like kind of the classic. Like,
I was actually watching some of her yesterday. I was like, she is good. I don't know what it is about her voice, but she's perfect. Yeah,
she is the result when you type it in.
Yeah. ASMR Zeitgeist is one of my favorites, and ASMR Flip Zeitgeist. Some other guy made a compilation of like Find Your Trigger like yesterday.
I will say that like even if I don't feel the tingles, like there's something about ASMR videos where it feels like someone is paying like an excruciating level of attention to you.
Yeah. Right. Definitely what it's about, because you need the you do need to see it sometimes. Like the video component is kind of big, because especially I was watching one with ASMR Darling yesterday. This one ASMR relaxing.
Which one did you watch?
ASMR relaxing hair play, brushing, and scalp massage. I think this might be an old one. I don't know if I was just riding the algorithm.
Yeah.
Oh no, that's from a year ago. But she has her friend there in the video, and so she's walking around her friend and like brushing and stuff like that. And so you're supposed to sort of, you know, use your mirror neurons and imagine you are her friend. And so it really helps to see where she is. Because imagine these ASMR tracks, just the audio, while it's nice, I think that it, when you see it, it like completes the experience of like personal attention, in my opinion. But I don't know about you,
Zach. Yeah, I think most people like, this would agree is, with that.
Is this like basically like a first person video of what it would be like to be a dog?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, I mean, but it, like I said, it's like a massage. Yeah, because you're always like petting your cat and your dog, right?
Yeah, I love this.
Did we lose somebody?
Yeah, Paul is like on the line. We'll wrap this up and let you go, and then I'm gonna call back Paul and see maybe if I can get him his audio to work. But yeah, I don't know. Anything else you want to say about ASMR? Other than, I mean, ASMR darling, ASMR zeitgeist. ASMR Surge, that's one guy.
I was watching Jibby ASMR and Tana ASMR. Those are all my ASMR girls, pretty much. For example, Tana, she's not, I think she maybe only has maybe 100,000 subscribers, not that much. But, like, she's got a couple things, like her intro. She's like, she does, like, okay, so sit back and relax. Relax.
Oh, it's like psychedelic.
Yeah. Because it's like as much about like the content of what they say sometimes matters, but it's really about how they say it.
Yeah. Are there any dudes that do like non-creepy, like actually good?
That's what I'm saying. If you look at ASMR Zeitgeist, I don't know if you can look him up. He does get in the creep zone, like he gets close and stuff. I would say the guys, for the most part, and this is going to, I don't know how sexist this is to say, but like the girls like very much like lean into like the idea of like like caretaker and like I'm doing things to you. And like, I don't know, like, you know how like when people are like, oh,
I think
this
that's
is,
everyone.
When people, no, but like the guys I like there's some guys I like. Hold on, let me see.
I've definitely seen some guys who are like, they're not malicious at all. They like are having fun being in the creep zone. And like, I don't have any problem with
that. Yeah. Yeah. Like, what's his name? Ephemeral Rift is that way. If you know him, he's a really big one. And he's like
that's right. But I was, the interesting thing was like, I got
Tony Bomboni. He's a really good one. Tony Bomboni.
No, I have an anecdote. So I got home today. I was really stressed out from work. Mm-hmm. And my boyfriend sent me like an extremely good dog video. And I was like, thank you, doctor. This content has healed me. And he is a med student. And he was like, haha, I prescribe you 50 memes a day, which is a very cute exchange between me and Mert. But it sort of made me think like it would be interesting if this was like a prescription thing where like if there were dudes, they were actually like deliberately like, you know, in scrubs or something, and be like, all right, it's time to brush your hair. Mm-hmm. Let's rock and roll.
What was the dog video?
The dog video was a Shiba Inu with his face getting scrunched up by his owner.
Oh, okay. I'd have to see it.
Fair enough. That's how memes work. It's true.
Yeah.
It's hard to describe a meme.
My other favorite guy, I'd like to answer your question about like, do you got other people that are just like into like the high quality, like not into like the, I don't know, personal attention thing. ASMR Sound Space. He's like one of my fave. I think if there's like who's the fucking Da Vinci of ASMR?
Oh, wow.
Well, he's like more, I don't know, he's just like the funniest. Like, he does really funny stuff. Like, he like embeds a microphone inside a box of cereal and then uses like a X-Acto knife to like carve out the box and like cut the microphone out of the box over the course of like 30 minutes. It's like funny stuff. But it's like also that, good.
That actually reminds me of one that was like, they had like a little like garden set up and they were planting
him.
Things. Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah. He plants a whole garden around your head.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was cool.
That's 3DO Gutter Garden sort.
That's what I'm. Styles. That's what I'm asking you guys. Do you think that if we had more research, this could ever get to a point where someone is like, you should watch these videos. Here's a playlist of videos. I think it will literally make you healthier.
I think so. Yes. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. It's like it's. I mean, if you are, I guess there's people who don't get it, but I mean, I'd say if you're ASMR responsive.
I don't know, like, you know, just because you don't get the tingles necessarily, like, you know, there's...
Yeah.
I think it's still relaxing either way.
Yeah, they are. They are.
But... nice. I could, yeah, like, I was having trouble sleeping last night, and I could have really used some ASMR, and I'd even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'll remember that next time, though.
Yeah. All right.
All right. I'm going to head out.
Okay. I'm going to hang up. We're going to take a short break and we'll be back maybe with Paul, but definitely with Evan.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Yep. And we're back. Thanks for tuning in to Science Thursday. We're feeling the Friday vibes. Are you doing anything fun this Friday?
Ooh, who we got?
We've got Hello? Paul, it works. Hey.
Oh, man.
Could you hear us before?
You guys are talking about ASMR.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. I wanted to, like, hang up and restart, but Zach had to go, and I didn't want to, like, do all this stuff, but I'm glad you could be back here.
So what's up? What's the next topic?
Wait,
Paul.
What's up, Paul?
I just listened to your segment called Shavoom, and I just want to say congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Segment?
You know, yeah. On the podcast that
I do a weekly segment on the Vergecast.
Oh, yeah, I listen to it sometimes. I know about this joke, the changing title thing.
same name every week.
So I'm going to cater to you, Paul, and I feel like you want to hear space news. Is that true?
Sure.
Space news. Wait, how about computer news?
What about space foods?
Space
news. What about computers in space?
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
naked computers.
There we go.
No, okay. Yeah, okay. This is kind of like that. This is computers in space. Here's the title. Astronauts Eject UK-Led Space Junk Demo Mission. Not a great title. Anyway. Okay, you know how there's like a lot of space junk in orbit?
Yeah. Yeah.
The article says 7,500 tons circling the planet. If you saw that one movie, what was that movie? Gravity?
Mm-hmm.
When all the space junk was flying around and like going fast as hell. Yeah, so that stuff's all up there making a mess. How much would you say?
How many tons did you say?
7,500 tons.
That is a lot.
So they're like, here, their idea is this thing called Remove Debris Satellite. It was just ejected, I think, I don't know, within the last couple of days or so. So it has a harpoon and a net. So it's going to fly around there. And it has a laser. It's gonna have two small CubeSats will eject and then track. For one of these, the mother satellite will demonstrate the laser ranging LIDAR and camera technology needed to motor and characterize debris, and then the other CubeSat will actually try to snare the object with a net. And then once it collects enough stuff, it's just gonna like use this sail and sort of just start dragging down, like angling back down towards the Earth, and then just like fly down with all the stuff. So it's crazy. It's this removed debris satellite. Pretty cool. I can't wait to see it in action.
The problem with space junk, everything's moving really fast up there.
Yeah.
So it can only catch things that it's moving on the same
speed.
Yeah, speed and trajectory.
Yeah, I guess. I guess it's going to get a lot of the bigger stuff, you know, or like, I don't know, probably has an ideal size that it'll go for at first. But
because from what I understand, what's really dangerous, like in Gravity, there's also a there's a really good anime. I think it was like in the 90s about Space Jump. It's really, really fun.
Oh my god, if you remember what that is, please tell me what it is.
It's called anime show. Let's see. Anime Space Junk.
Planetes?
Planetes. Yeah.
Is this the one that has that rose shot that everyone retweets?
That's Cowboy Bebop, I
think. No. That's a different rose shot. But also good anime.
I don't know. But anyways, the real danger, because like let's say a satellite's up there and it dies, that would be bad to run into, but it's relatively easy to track and therefore relatively easy to avoid. But the real scary stuff is like a floating like screw or something. Like
yeah, that.
Like tiny debris.
Yeah,
so it's harder to track.
Yeah, if you watch this video from the BBC on this thing, they have like a picture of a recent, the space station got hit with a fleck of paint, like a chip of paint fell off and then hit the window and looks like a bullet hole. So that's a fucking fleck of paint. So yeah, just like you're saying, like small debris is moving so fast that, yeah, that's like the real scary kind of danger.
What if by the time Elon Musk is ready to like go to Mars, you literally just can't even get out of the planet. You'll just get destroyed by
junk. Space junk. I know.
That's the point.
Well,
I guess
hopefully this removed debris satellite, we should get some cool footage of it harpooning some garbage so that people get hyped on the idea of cleaning that up and, you know, build better bots. So that's not the case.
What was their strat in the anime?
They did it with spacewalks.
Okay. Yeah, I guess
they did it with people, so it was really dramatic. But they a lot of the drama of that show is the difficulty of like maneuvering in zero G and like orienting yourself and like matching the speed and trajectory of stuff. It makes a lot of sense to automate it with like LIDAR and stuff. I don't quite know how the harpoon would work. I need to see more pictures. But
it looks like a literal harpoon, like.
it's just like for a whale.
It looks like it. I mean, it's not. If I'm looking at a picture of it right now. It's a standard harpoon to me.
The thing is, what if this satellite, especially if it's scooting around, it's not in a real predictable orbit, right? So it's like it's bumping into. What if it gets hit by a piece of space junk?
I know. I mean,
right, and then it blows up and becomes a bunch of space junk. Like it needs to capture at least as much mass and items.
I don't know how much it's going to catch before it goes down. I don't know if it has multiple harpoons or I don't know.
It's a CubeSat, right? Like it's a CubeSat, which means it's like a foot by a foot. So like it's a small guy.
It's a 100 kilogram craft. I'm not really sure how much money I could do some. How much is that?
Relatively large cube.
Oh, 220 pounds.
That's pretty big. That's a big boy.
Yeah.
I like the concept of there being like a really high level meeting at NASA and the engineers being like, look, guys, we don't have like a super crazy high tech solution. We got to harpoon the trash. Like, I don't know what you want me to do.
I think that I don't know what other solution there was. I mean,
well, how would you harpoon that paint fleck, right?
Yeah, you can't. That's got to be another solution.
Like a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, what we really need is just some kind of like unlimited energy scenario so that you can make those things beefy as fuck instead of lights. Like space.
Although I get. Yeah. I'm listening to a podcast about Mars.
Ooh, that's cool.
It's really interesting. And they talk about a lot of the alternative. There are some like pretty good alternative energy sources. Like you could have something motoring around for years just fine and go real fast. And the podcast? Let me look it up again. So bad.
This makes me realize like WALL-E. This is basically WALL-E's job. This is like the space station WALL-E.
It's probably not going to be as cute as Wally. Although maybe.
It's a cube.
Wally's kind of a cube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just put some binoculars on it. Anatomy of Next.
Oh, that sounds cool. I'm going to DL that.
Okay. Well,
I wish this space, this satellite, the best of luck.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I'm excited. I really hope it has like footage of it harpooning some trash, like an old rocket or something.
You know, the like amateur astronomy subreddit isn't going to be peeping that cube.
Yeah,
I can't get over this harpoon. Okay. Let's say it finds like a dead. Like a CubeSat of a similar size to it, right? Uh-huh. And it's like, oh, good. This is a big, like, it's a dead satellite that's like, this is a big danger. And if it runs into something, it'll become, okay, it harpoons it. Perfect shot, right?
Yeah.
It's like, got it. All right, I'm going to drag it down to Earth. My mission here is done. But when the harpoon hit it, it knocked off a little paint.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
It's a hard problem.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They need a big magnet. They need like a really fucking gigantic magnet.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking magnet, but I guess not all the debris is metal, but a lot of it is. So magnet would be, that's something. Like a little robot that flies around. Things just
it's like Katamari.
Magnetized to it. Yeah, Katamari.
Katamari.
Yeah. This is good. We're doing some real brainstorming for these scientists. do you want to do some more space news?
Sure.
Headline: Einstein proved right in another galaxy. So anyway, there's this idea that a supermassive object in space will distort all the light around it because it's so all of its gravity. And so they could look at, they saw it in their, if we look at like some galaxies really far away, some really massive ones, you can see all of the light from the other stars bent around it. And it kind of looks like a bubble, like imagine like a star and then like a bubble, like a, you know, like if you blew a bubble with bubbles.
Yes.
It looks really beautiful. And it's like an image from a satellite. And so they finally wanted to test the math on that. And so they crunched the numbers on this, the how massive this galaxy was by looking at how it moved. Somehow they were looking at how it moved and they knew how massive it was, and they could then predict like how much it should distort the light behind it if it's this massive. And so they crunched that number versus like what they see, and they're like, yeah, dude, it's exactly right. Einstein was right, man. So I don't know. It's like,
what was he right about?
That really massive objects would distort. Here, wait, check it out. General relativity predicts that massive objects deform space-time. This means that when light passes near another galaxy, the light's path is deflected. If two galaxies are aligned along our line of sight, this can give rise to the phenomenon that's called strong gravitational lensing, where we see multiple images of the background galaxy. So yeah, I guess that's what he predicted, that like light would bend around supermassive objects, and they wanted to like actually see if that was true. And they, yeah, I don't know. They crunched the numbers, the data versus like the visual of like looking at this galaxy, and they're like, "Yep, it's all right."
Well, that's good.
I would just encourage you to look at the image. It's pretty cool.
I saw this headline. I didn't click the article, but it's crazy to me. There is still like a cohort of people who are like. You know whose theory I'm going to try to shoot down? Einstein.
Yeah. But I think, yeah, it's like one of the things we've been talking about a lot on this show, Science Thursday, is that all these big psychology truths, things that have been seen as truths, have been retested lately with like better science and like bigger group sets and stuff. And everything's being proven wrong. So I don't know. I'm kind of like, I guess we should go back to the foundational knowledge and always be testing it. I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, no, that's what science is all about. That's what Science Thursday is all about. Testing what we know.
Science Thursday is also about like really questioning science, even though we're not scientists. Being like, yeah, right.
Exactly.
But yeah, I don't know. It's cool. It looks like a star in a bubble. I'd say go look at that. That's cool. Want some computer news?
Every day.
Okay, you know the thing, how our computer, you know, night mode, how everybody's using Flux. They started using Flux, and then like Apple's even built in like Flux like things into your phone, so it turns like more yellow at night.
Because the blue light is Satan.
Yeah. So there's guess what? Step aside blue light. Cyan is the real evil guy.
A little bit of green in there. Don't you do that.
Yeah. So they said there have been night mode settings for phones and laptops, which have reduced blue light in an attempt to lessen the damage to sleep. But research biologists at the University of Manchester and Basel in Switzerland published in the journal Sleep has shown the particular impact of the color cyan. So, yeah, it's so they're like, yeah, I mean, look, I guess we got to readjust our fluxes and get rid of the cyan, too.
So, I mean, like, that makes perfect sense to me because daylight is, like, 5,000 Kelvin-ish, right?
Yeah, they show an example on this. This is another BBC page, actually, and they show just, like, a square of the color cyan, just in case you're wondering. And it looks exactly like the sky. Like, I'm looking at that, and then I'm looking at the sky. It's the same color as the sky.
Well, so yeah. With this, cyan, I used to do print stuff, right? So in print,
yeah, CMYK,
your color CMYK, but like I've been so away from print for so long, like the only thing that matters is RGB.
Yeah,
we've become RGB biased and we forgot our CMYK roots.
It's weird because it says researchers suggest that versions of color using cyan could be used in screens if the aim was to keep people awake, such as people required to stay alert at night. So they would, yeah. So they're saying maybe build like a specific pixel, like R, G, B, and C, so that you could have these like screens that are like, yeah.
So be like
caffeine
like
pills.
Caffeine of screens.
Yeah.
I was at the chiropractor the other day. My parents are just obsessed with this chiropractor, so I was visiting them, and so they took me to the chiropractor.
Mm-hmm.
And he said blue light. I mean, he obviously wasn't up on the hot cyan news, but he said blue light invokes like the fight or flight response. Like I'd heard the stuff of like it keeping you awake. But
yeah, I don't know.
Heard that.
Evan's gone. We got to hang up and call him back, but I didn't hear that. We lost an Evan.
Something to worry about.
But yeah, I feel like that's like, I mean, I don't know about that. I had one of those lights that was supposed to make me happy for a long time, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I don't know if it worked. I don't know. I'm going to call back Evan. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, let me tease a few stories. Coco the gorilla. Bad news, actually. Do you think dinosaurs could stick out their tongues? I don't really know how to tease that. And do you think when you make a funny face at a horse, what does it think? That's coming up. And when we come back, all right, I'll call you back in a second. All right.
Hey.
Oh my God.
There he is.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Oh, my God. Anchor's a little buggy, you know? Like, I have my headphones plugged in, but you just started coming out of my phone speaker anyway. It does that a lot.
It's, yeah. That's, Anchor is buggy. This is just a fact.
Are you there, Paul?
Yep.
Okay, just making sure. So did I teased a few stories before the break, Paul. Did you any of those sound interesting to you?
I really want to know about the dinosaurs. All of them sound interesting.
Okay.
The first and third.
Here's like a TLDR and just the headline of this article. Dinosaurs couldn't stick out their tongues.
Wow.
Yeah. Their tongues are often overlooked, but offer key insights into their lifestyles of extinct animals. Anyway, yeah. I mean, there's nothing much to this. We've talked about the dinosaur. You know, as time goes on, more and more things that we put in Jurassic Park, we realize weren't true. And before we talked about how, like, all the way that their joints moved, like, I guess pterodactyls didn't fly like they did. Like, they didn't have the posture of bats. They said that would have, like, broken their legs. There's, like, it's a lot of things like that lately. So this is just another one that couldn't stick out their tongues.
Yeah, when I think about a pterodactyl, it sort of doesn't make sense weight-wise. A lot of stuff going on in the front.
I don't know how they didn't actually offer an image of how they actually flew, but they, this lady, I don't even want to go into it, but yeah,
sure.
I tried to like skim this to be like, oh yeah, researchers have made the discovery by comparing hyoid bones, the bones that support and ground the tongue of modern birds and crocodiles of those with their extinct dinosaur relatives. Yeah. So like, it's more like a bird or a crocodile, that style. So, I mean, cool.
The more you know.
Yeah.
Science Thursday.
Yeah. I put this one in here. I wanted to start this little series on Science Thursday called Coffee is Killing Us or Not. I don't really know what the name is, but it's basically like all the – every year, like a million studies are published on why either coffee is good for you or bad for you. And I just want to like basically like check in with whatever they're saying at the moment. And right now they're saying it's good and helps protect the heart with mitochondria. A new study shows that caffeine concentration equivalent of to 4 cups of coffee promotes the movement of regulatory protein into mitochondria, enhancing their function and protecting cardiovascular cells from damage. So, as of right now, coffee, drink a lot of it. It's good for your heart.
4 cups of coffee?
I know, right? That's a lot.
That just, was it a smoker that wrote this?
I don't know. It was, I just like wanted, like, I don't even want to go into it because I don't believe any. I'm like, I don't know. We're just we really want to like either prove that what we're doing every day is either good or bad. It's just because people drink so much. They just want to like be like, it's good for me, actually.
I don't even care if it's bad for me because it makes me feel so right.
And like I'm looking at all these things on Feedly and I can see this article has like a million more clicks than other ones because people are really interested in whether or not it's good or bad for you.
Yeah, science often becomes like clickbait. Science is a very, very clickbaitable category of stuff.
Because you want a confirmation bias your whole life. You want to be like, the way I'm living, science says that it's the right way. So you'll, yeah, something like that gets you excited because somebody who drinks a lot of coffee will be like, see?
Maybe Gary Vaynerchuk's new website with no negative stories should, you know, just do self-affirmation.
No negative stories? We should talk about that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, dude. Well, yeah, that's a different thing.
Okay, this is a funny news story. How do horses read human emotional cues? Scientists demonstrated for the first time that horses integrate human facial expressions and voice tones to perceive human emotion, regardless of whether the person is familiar or not. So, yeah, you want to know how they did this? How they found out horses? Yes.
I'm not sure I understand the premise. I'm sorry. I don't really understand.
So I guess if you make like an angry face at your horse, you have a pet horse, he knows you're angry. If you make a happy face, he knows you're happy.
Wait, but it doesn't even have to be your pet horse. It can be any random horse.
He understands all human emotions.
All humans.
I guess so, yeah. At least, or the ones at least it's gotten used to, you know. I don't really know. Like, if you had a horse since birth and every time you were mad at it, you smiled, like, ah, get over here. I'm smiling right now, though. Get over here, idiot. And then, you know, and then making a really angry face and being like, I love you, sweetheart. Yeah, I guess I don't know if you can recondition it to be programmed to other faces or not.
Well, what was the study? Because maybe that'll illuminate if you can reprogram horses.
I think you can. No, it won't. Not necessarily. Wait. Horses were shown a picture of happy facial expression or angry facial expression on a screen and then heard a pre-recorded human voice praising or scolding from a speaker behind the screen. Horses received both the congruent condition, in which the emotional values of facial expression and voice tone were matched, and the incongruent condition, which they were not. So it's like they showed like exactly what I was saying. They showed like a happy face and then like had like an angry voice and then like one that matched and then one happy face. Yeah. Angry face and happy voice and then one that matched. You know what I mean?
Why did they want to know if horses could understand human emotions?
Interest?
Well, this is interesting, because
I'll tell you what happened. Hold on. The horses results of the experiment showed that the horses responded to voices 1.6 to 2 times faster in the incongruent condition than the congruent, regardless of familiarity of the person. In addition, the horses looked at the speaker 1.4 times longer in the incongruent condition than the congruent condition when the person was familiar. Okay, so they looked at it when they were more familiar with the person, and then the person did something unexpected, like something that didn't match up, something that seemed weird, they looked at them longer. So they were like, So it's like anytime that something didn't go the way it is when it's normal, like when something didn't match up, that triggered them to pay attention to that thing longer. Like they, at least this is how they infer that they understood that something's wrong here and I need to pay extra attention to be like, what the
hell
is going on?
This is just going to prove that humans and other mammals are basically running the same firmware and that animals experience life like very similarly to us, and we're all going to feel very bad.
Oh yeah, Def. I mean, who knows though? What it actually feels like, but it's probably, I mean, why would they, you know, why not use the same stuff, you know? We're the same in so many other ways, and we're related in so many ways, why not? But yeah, this is like the real question is like, what's the word for like the individual experience of any like creature is called the qualia, like the overall like the you know, all the senses combined, like the quality of experience, I guess. So like, yeah.
So like, we can't use the word conscious. We can't do that. We need another word.
It's like the subjective experience of each individual animal, all of like the senses, like, cause like, you know, like, cause sharks have like that electricity organ. Some like all animals have different varying sensitivities to different things. And then the mix of that plus a bunch of other things gives you your unique qualia. And like, what would it be like to be an octopus? You know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting.
And what would it be like to be an octopus?
Do you think these horses, what if you went up to a wild horse that had never met a person?
Yeah, good question.
Do you think it'd be able to recognize human expressions?
I think wild horses are very different.
I think they didn't bring this up in the article, but I think that the wild horse would not respond the way these horses did. I feel like these horses learned human
in their domestication process.
Yeah, and just like their interaction with
because don't people. Isn't that kind of how humans learn?
Yeah, definitely.
Like what? Like matching up what a human might be feeling with the human's facial expression is something like we learn over time, and we can also like fail to learn it.
Yeah, let me read this final sentence. Our study could contribute to the understanding of how animals and companion animals send and receive emotional signals to deepen our relationships. which could help establish a better relationship that emphasizes the well-being of animals.
See, this makes me, I don't even want to like yell at a dog. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Why have you been yelling at dogs?
I haven't.
I want to close it up with, I didn't get a lot of stories this week. I was so busy, but this is, did you hear about Coco?
Yeah.
Coco, the gorilla, passed away.
She knew like 2,000 words, right?
I'm gonna, yeah, understand 2,000 words of spoken English and did 1,000 signs.
I read a story. I have no idea where I read this, so I have no idea if it's true. But I read a story that Coco always watched Mr. Rogers. And when she met Mr. Rogers, she took off his shoes because he always takes off his shoes.
Oh, wait, did you see the Mr. Rogers movie? Recent, no. That just came out? Yeah, that scene's in it.
Yeah, I just saw it last night. It's Mr. Rogers and Coco hanging out is the most adorable thing.
Yeah.
Just it's just intensely adorable. Like Mr. Rogers is sitting in Coco's lap.
Oh, wow. I mean, it's very interesting. I would never do
that. Here, I got a little
that's a son.
It's really
packed. My grandfather gave me that.
Yeah, I don't know, whatever. Yeah. And also, they said that when, like, she was, like, good, she liked Robin Williams a lot, and when they told her Robin Williams died, she was, like, crying, like, actually crying.
Same, dude. I can relate.
So yeah, just going along with the horses and the Coco, she was like the thing that made people start to believe that qualia thing, like that we might have similar qualias, you know. And like she's the ambassador to that idea in a lot of ways, you know.
Man, qualia is just a great sci-fi movie name.
That's aren't there more Cocos?
I don't know. You know, she might be an anomaly. She might just be like a specifically smart one, or smart in the way that we feel is like, I don't know, important.
Do you think she ever like was like, why the fuck am I in this captivity?
I don't know.
Can you guys let me out of here?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think she liked it.
I mean, I guess if you're born in, I don't know if she was born in there, but I guess if you're born in there, this is fine.
I think she was. I was skimming some stuff. Born, yeah, she was born in captivity. In the San Francisco Zoo.
So is that all the science we got?
Yeah. Wait, I'll tell you. Let me tell you this one thing Coco said. She was asked in this interview where gorillas go when they die. And she signed, "Comfortable hole, bye."
Yes.
Comfortable hole, bye.
B-Y-E?
Yeah.
Bye
is goodbye. Yeah, comfortable hole. Goodbye.
Dude, I relate to that.
Yeah.
That feels great. Can you imagine having a nice snug hole in some like very fluffy dirt? Sounds great.
Yeah. That is not all the science that happened this week, but I don't know. I was trying to keep it abbreviated, and I'm telling you, I was looking through the science articles for about 4 hours, and I only got through like the last 3 days of news. There's so much dang science being printed all
that's
the time.
Great, though. That's great. Thank you, scientists, as always.
Yeah. Like,
I'm glad that I can inhale nicotine vapors from a thumb drive.
What are you talking about?
Talking about vaping, Rondo.
Oh, you think? Are you saying thank science for vaping?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, so that was it for this week. I'm going to try to read more articles. I'm less busy next week, so maybe we'll have, I don't know. I'll try to go through more. These weren't bad stories, though. They're pretty good stories.
Oh. Do you want to have an after show and talk about 1:37 p.m.?
Oh, okay. Flipping, what's his name? This new thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you want to have that? Well, wait, should we put the after show on here, or do we need to have another show on your channel?
I think we should. Paul, you're more than welcome to be there. I'm not saying you shouldn't be there, but I think we should chop it and then start a new one.
All right. Okay, thanks cool. for listening to Science Thursday. Tune in next week. I love looking through all the science articles. It's so funny to read all this stuff. Harpooning space junk. That was probably my favorite thing from this.
That's good.
All right. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Evan. Thanks, Zach, who's here at the beginning. Bye.
Thanks for having me.
And I'll be back with you guys in a sec to talk Vanderchuck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.